Score. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
Okay, squiggles are squiggling.
Finish getting my toy out. I'm got Lady Galvatron here.
I've got that new Chase from.
Oh yes, he's a very good little boy.
He is.
He's a little funky and over designed, maybe.
He is. But I don't know what the whole deal with these gull wing things is, but yeah. Hopefully they do the rest of the rescue bots.
Yes.
She is cray cray. All right. I need to get Death's Head so he can be shocked.
Boulder
by
might be a long shot.
Lady Galvatron.
I don't know. I mean,
Heatwave and Blades should be easy.
Why would Boulder be a long shot?
Because he's a bulldozer.
I mean, he doesn't have to be in scale.
Well, hey, if they're going to do Constructicons soon.
I guess, but he's going to be green. No. I find him unlikely.
Unless
they do his dinosaur mode.
I mean, their whole thing is they do them on, like, robot scale, and all the main rescue bots are all the same size.
Yeah.
So he'd just be the same. And also, they package him in robot mode now anyway, so who can tell?
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. I have my desk toy for the recording. I guess I could go get Zod, but he's not that fiddleable. My $5 Zod I picked up at TFCon.
Ooh. Dude.
Oh, yeah, we should maybe mention TFCon again. Since regular episode. Anyway.
All right.
I'm ready.
All right. Hello, and welcome to Stasis Pod, the Challenge of the GoBots podcast. That's right. This is our traditional in-between seasons whatever episode, and this time inspired by Jen's recent viewing, we are challenging the GoBots.
Yes! Yeah, so I have been very excited, as I think I have mentioned, to discover that the MeTV Toons channel, not only are they showing GoBots at, like, 4 in the morning on Saturday night or Sunday morning, depending. They actually have, like, a gorgeous, at least 1080p print of it. There are DVDs that have been available for a while, but what they're airing is actually even better quality than the DVDs. And it's, I mean, as someone who has been committing processing time to running AI upscales of stuff that only seems to exist anymore on DVDs from 20 years ago, this is very exciting for me. So I have been on a bit of a GoBot kick, so I suggested something that I referred to as the Transformers 1 we have at home.
Yeah, this is very much GoBots 1.
Yes. Yes, this is the origin of the GoBots conflict and the ugly breakup at the core of it.
And
I'm not sure it explains the origin, but it does explain many things.
I mean,
yeah, there's definitely, like, there's stuff that is not covered.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but doesn't this predate any instances of Optimus Prime and Megatron being colleagues pre-war?
You know, I would have to look at air dates, frankly. As far as, I mean, these may be, like, concurrent with, because War Dawn...
I mean, they're not really, like, pals in War Dawn.
As friends. He was like, ooh, look, Megatron can fly. They weren't friends.
Yeah, in War Dawn, it's just Orion Pax thinks that Megatron seems really cool because he can fly and just seems like a cool guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think this does predate them actually being friends. So, And I actually was thinking about looking up the actual publication origin of Magneto and Professor X being friends, because I feel like that's...
Yeah.
I mean, Reed Richards and Doctor Doom used to be friends, mm-hmm. so I know that it's not like...
Yeah,
I'm
it's
sure there's,
thing.
Like, real historical literary examples, too.
And this episode is filled with real historical stuff.
Shockingly, yes. Somebody did some, like, even the title of this is the 63rd episode of GoBots. This is called A2 Psykill, which is already a pretty hoity-toity reference for an episode of GoBots.
Yes. So yeah, this does predate any stories in which Optimus and Megatron were formatively friends.
Yes. And this first aired December 9th, 1985. It's got a whole whack of writers attached to it.
Yeah, like four. What the hell?
There's story by a bunch of guys, and then there's teleplay by a bunch of guys. But notably,
yeah, story by four guys, and the teleplays by two of them.
Teleplay by Eric Liewoldt and Mark Edens, both of whom, notably, were big Fox X-Men guys.
Oh, okay. I noticed one other episode that I, like, the first aired episode once they got past the miniseries, which is called Time Wars, which is the Time Wars we have at home, because that is a notable popular Transformers UK story title. But it was, like, story by someone else and then teleplay by Doug Booth, who is the guy who then wrote a Decepticon Raider in King Arthur's Court and a few episodes of Visionaries. So it's pulling. I noticed that Donald Glut wrote some GoBots. So it's pulling a bit from that whole stable.
Let me guess, Donald Glut wrote episodes that featured Zod prominently.
I'll have to check on that. I'll pay attention when we get to those on MeTV.
I'll put you money on that he wrote most of them.
I will note that Jeff Siegel, who is one of the guys credited with the story, is also the guy who created Exo Squad.
Okay, then. Nice.
And I mean, this feels like it's a well-written episode of GoBots, which makes it like a not particularly well-written episode of Transformers. And Transformers is not like a super well-written show. And this is, so, we've discussed GoBots on the series before, but it was...
We did a Patreon episode long ago.
Yes, even though it predates, I mean, it technically did beat Transformers 2 North America, it has always been sort of the poor cousin, especially since Hasbro literally bought Tonka, which owned GoBots.
I did like GoBots growing up, but yeah, Transformers, I've been watching it as I've been watching it on MeTV Toons. I've been watching it with an eye to what Transformers did that caused it to eat GoBots lunch money, or steal GoBots lunch money. And I think that the biggest credits probably go, honestly, to Bob Budiansky, for one.
Yes.
Because you watch GoBots, and I'm sure you'll notice that a lot of the characters don't have quite the same level of, like, definitive traits that you get from, like, a Starscream or a Jazz.
No.
Well, yes, to the point that, like, some background characters, minor characters, change sides from Renegade to Guardian between episodes.
Yeah.
Well, I'm almost going to credit, like, Hasbro's marketing guys at the time here, because... You know, every good guy had a red face on him. Every bad guy had a purple face on him. The GoBots do not have that.
Stuff like that. Branding. Stuff that adds... And also, the GoBots, there were a couple different sizes of the toys, but most of them were that one size. And there was nothing... They seemed to kind of randomly assign factions.
Yeah.
Whereas with Transformers... The fact that they eventually, like, a year into it, got a team of Autobots who could fly and a team of Decepticons who were cars was, like, a big thing.
Yeah.
Whereas, with GoBots... And to be fair, that does bring up a lot of questions of determinism, that moral determinism that are maybe outside of the scope of this right now. I guess that is within the scope of, like, the IDW comics, but there were some things that Transformers did a lot better. I think that Chris Latta and Scatman Crothers, and I mean, even Frank Welker and Peter Cullen, who are in GoBots, they are not as good in GoBots as they are in Transformers.
Yeah, they're GoBots did sort of two things better. One, the small scale toys, cheap, easy, good, still solid to this day.
Yeah, I mean, they're nice little toys.
Number two, gender.
Yeah, diversity.
Yes, there's a lot of lady GoBots.
Yeah, although kind of rarely the one in this episode.
Well,
there's a guy
in
the miniseries who's in charge of the space agency who's like an older black man, and, you know, you've actually got multi-ethnic characters, and you've got just multi-gendered, like, I mean, yeah, there's Crasher, who's like one of the three main bad guys, and she's amazing.
In every episode.
She's in every episode, but you also, you know, in the handful that I've seen so far watching through, Pathfinder does a decent bit, Smallfoot is usually fairly significant in the episodes she's in. So yeah, it was a lot better with diversity, but being girl does not make a character the same way that being a backstabbing bad guy second in command is going to.
Or even, I don't know, just like being a Bing Crosby impression.
Yeah, being a Bing Crosby.
Yeah.
I mean, Beachcomber is just like, yeah, like, he's cool. He gets that whole episode and he's great in it.
He's got a personality.
Yeah.
Whereas I don't know that a lot of these side GoBots characters could really carry an episode.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that from watching the cartoon, you're not necessarily going to be able to tell me what Thundercracker and Skywarp's primary personality traits are, except, like, thugs, but there's a big enough cast that...
I mean, one of them sounds like Mr. Slate.
Yeah, there's a big enough cast that not all of them have to be standouts. Whereas in this, like, none of them, except maybe Scooter, and honestly, that's mostly just that Frank Welker Herbie voice.
Weird gremlin voice.
So, yeah, I think that, in general, Transformers had a lot more standout, like, character hooks, like, personality traits that you could just hang an entire story on.
I mean, kind of a big part of this is that this... you know, Transformers like a Marvel Sunbow production, and this is Hanna-Barbera.
Yeah.
And this was not, this is Hanna-Barbera in decline, and they were not built to make like an action cartoon about robots.
Yeah, the character design is not as polished, and of course there's historically always been complaints that the Transformers character designs made them look too little like the toys, so that you got the toy and you're like, this doesn't look like the guy on my cartoon. But yeah, the GoBots ones did tend to feel like really unpolished. This felt like the first draft of Transformers.
Well, and yet it's better than the first draft of Transformers, because now we know what that was.
Well, yeah.
Oh, well, you Muffy and the Mysterians?
Yes.
Yes.
If,
I mean, that's the thing. Muffy and the Mysterians feels like that's what Hanna-Barbera would do if they had...
Exactly.
Transformers.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God. Imagine if Muffy and the Mysterians had been the Transformers and GoBots was the one we had now. Oof. Weird.
I'm just imagining Michael Bay's Muffy and the Mysterians.
No, it would have been Michael Bay's GoBots.
Michael Bay and the Mysterians.
Okay, well, yeah. No, no.
Yeah, Michael Bay's GoBots.
Now it's going to be Michael Bay's Skibbity Toilet. Speaking of things that young people have to watch or listen to our Patreon episode.
I don't know what that is, and I refuse to learn what it is.
You don't want to know.
No. Nope.
What little I know, you don't want to know.
Don't tell me. No idea.
You don't need to know. You don't have kids.
It's like,
you can just safely ignore that.
It's like whenever someone tries to explain to me what a VTuber is. I don't know.
A Muppet.
I will never know.
I have tried to convince one of my coworkers who does like League of Legends playthroughs that he uploads that his numbers would look a lot better if he was a VTuber.
It's debatable if you're a guy. It's hard to tell. Maybe. Anyway, this episode...
So we open. We are on the far off planet of Garleon, because this I guess the GoBots aren't trapped on Earth, right? I guess they can just like zip around to
Because they had working spaceships. They might have been stuck for the first few episodes of the game or whatever.
Yeah, they've got their command center. They're not really stuck. That's just where they're hanging out right now.
Their AT-AT can fly in space.
Yes.
Another thing that kind of annoys me, and of course Transformers did this certainly in its early days, where everybody can just fly around like Superman. Mm,
yes. Also shoot lasers out of their fists.
Yes.
Yeah, it wasn't really until after the first couple episodes that they decided that actually all the Transformers couldn't fly. It was inconsistent.
And yeah, they all fly like Superman, fists out in front of them, making Hanna-Barbera noises. So we got Leader One, we got Turbo, who's like one of the main guys, and who, speaking of bad character designs, he looks like a clown.
Yeah, the faces on some of these guys are...
That's fair.
I don't know that kids ever liked clowns, but it was the 80s. Kids did not like clowns.
No, clowns were not popular in the 80s. Can confirm, clowns were not a big thing in the 80s.
Reoccurring thing in a lot of the designs of the faces is yellow eyes. Okay, that sort of works. Yellow teeth. That always weirds me out for some reason.
And then they're also accompanied by Trids, who's a tank, and Tri-Track, who's like a motorized tricycle thing.
No, he is an ATV. He is a three-wheeler. Okay. He actually, I looked him up, and he looks a lot like one that I actually had as a kid. Because my grandparents had a Honda Suzuki dealership. So I had the fantastically dangerous Honda ATC-70. Which you can Google and find a bunch of write-ups about how incredibly dangerous they were, because they were not very stable.
They roll over pretty
If
easy.
You tried, yeah, they... I definitely very much remember my mom driving it with me on the back one time, trying to go up to my grandparents' place, which was just, like, next door, and, like, tipping over and me getting... being stuck under her, and they were fantastically dangerous, so of course I had one, because I don't know how anyone my age survived to adulthood. He Tri-Track is actually looks very close. I looked him up on eBay, and then I sent a link to my sister and was like, I need this GoBot, and she was like, yeah, I'm sorry, but you do. Because she had a four-wheeler. She had one that was a 50cc, so it was a little smaller because she was younger. But yes, Tri-Track looks a whole lot like a Honda ATC-70. So... he is also apparently rare enough to actually be worth money, which is incredible as a GoBot. So, also unfortunate. So, yeah, that's what he is.
So, yeah, we're on Garleon. They're looking for Psykill. But it is indeed a trap. They are ambushed by Crasher, who is the insane cackling... female henchwoman of Psykill.
She's so just like big Joan Jett vibes. I love her. She's very punk.
She does her classic cackle while waving a gun around. They have guns, which is weird because they shoot with their fists. And then she does a second cackle before the scene ends. It's like she just keeps going.
She just needs you to know.
And Copter, who's like an extremely big dumb guy.
He's great.
Yeah, he's their thug.
Duh.
Like it in a Batman movie, he'd be all the he'd be the guy who was all the boss. It's the Bat.
yes, that is exactly who he is. He was actually voiced first by Bob Holt, but then occasionally in sometimes Arthur Burkhart.
Because I think Holt died at some point in the '80s. He was like a big. Voice actor. He's also like the Incredible Hulk in that 80s Hulk cartoon.
Yeah, this lists him as having died on August 2nd, 1985. So yeah, I guess Arthur Burkhart took over for him in Battle of the Rock Lords, which I need to get hold of.
He was also the Lorax.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Oh, and perhaps famously to me, and I'm going to say David has probably seen this. Mm-hmm. He's like the old wizard in Wizards, the Ralph Bakshi movie.
Oh, he's Dang it.
Avatar.
Yes, Avatar.
I saw that, but it was long enough ago that I rented it on VHS from a Blockbuster. So well, that's, it has
also,
been a while.
I'm guessing, as is traditional when watching Wizards, were you super high?
No, but I was like 20. So I was just straight edge.
Okay, because I believe that is generally recommended whilst watching Wizards.
Yeah. Or some kind of thing. That's maybe we should put that on the maybe watch list, because that is not good, but in interesting ways.
I mean, it has one of the greatest endings of a fantasy epic ever.
Yes, it's
I
very
would
gif-able.
Definitely be up to watching it again.
It's got Mark Hamill in it.
Oh, ooh. There's a spoiler of our tie-in! But yes.
Wait, there's a spoiler that Mike Hamill's in it?
Well, no, that we would have brought that in, up in the episode, that, hey, it ties in, it's Mark Hamill again.
Yeah. I guess it ties into Rescue Bots.
Yes.
Sadly, we never got Ralph Bakshi's Rescue Bots.
Aww. Oh, no! No! Bakshi, stay away from those innocent children!
Anyway, so they're ambushed. Of course, Cycle, their Cycle also has a great voice.
Yes.
Yes.
Bernard Erhard.
Very weird voice for a main villain. Like, he's very much like a gang leader.
And, of course, he's also Cryotech on Visionaries.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. There's lots of random little parts.
Yeah, whereas I've always found that Leader One is at least a little too generic, voice-wise.
Yeah, and I am going to put that in the column for what Transformers did better, because Peter Cullen had a much better leader voice.
Everybody knows what Optimus Prime sounds like, and nobody knows what Leader One sounds like.
No.
Yeah.
He just sounds like some guy.
Yes. Anyway, so they're ambushed. You know, there's a bunch of fire. Notably, the Guardian or the Renegades aren't even using these like weird weapons, but pretty soon the command center, which looks like if this is we have Transformers One at home, this is we have an AT-AT at home.
Yes,
and it's being driven by Scooter and the GoBots' usual band of human buddies.
I do tend to think of the command center as being somewhat iconic. I think part of the same way that I got into Inhumanoids, and that it was one of those toys that was always sitting up on the big plastic shelves behind a table at the toy shows. So it's pretty iconic looking, but it's definitely just an AT-AT.
Yes. I believe it's also the one that has, like, the reprogramming chamber and also a disintegration chamber.
Yes!
Yes! See the GoBots comic drawn by,
Tom Scioli.
Yeah, Scioli. Who used that command center in the page. It's entertaining and weird. Well, the whole comic
That's
is
a
insane.
Real weird comic series.
Yes.
Anyway, so eventually the Renegades get back to their own, action figure storage unit.
Yes.
The thruster.
Psykill shouts, quickly back to thrust her. Sure. Psykill, that's what you do in your spare time.
Duh, but Psykill, I hardly know her.
Look, also Transformers had Wally Burr doing the voice directing, so.
Yeah, also, I assume this probably has some guy who'd worked for Hanna and Barbera since, like, 1952.
Yeah, yes.
No.
Me? Yeah, yeah. I was the guy who came up with It's a Livid for the Flintstones. Yeah, what's the show about? Robots? Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe when you're doing your lines, maybe you see, like, say, like, beep, beep at the end, because you're a robot.
One of the things that MeTV Toons has at in the middle of the day is Yogi's Space Race, and that's very, like, the past is a foreign land kind of show.
So is that, like, post-Star Wars or pre-Star Wars?
It's probably post... I mean, it's basically Wacky probably. Races.
Yeah, because I feel like a lot like post-Star Wars, they were like, okay, we've got to do, like...
Something
everything
space.
Is in space. We haven't seen Star Wars, and we don't understand it, but just, I don't know, like 50s rockets or something.
It uses...
Give me like, I don't know, Josie and the Pussycats in space.
It uses a lot of Jetsons sound effects. And Wikipedia tells me it is from 1978.
Okay,
so... 1978, and if you look at the logo, yes, this is inspired by goddamn Star Wars. Holy
of course,
crap.
Of course.
That is absolutely post-Star Wars.
Anyway, it turns out this weapon is a reduplicator, which sounds more like a Xerox machine.
Yeah,
it's but a yeah, they were used by the Parthian Raiders back in the day.
Yes, the Parthian Raiders from 247 BC to 224 AD. It's named after an actual like political empire from the old world. What the fudge?
Except,
well, because this whole thing is very, very loosely based on the fall of the Roman Republic. Someone
yes,
was trying to get a little hoity-toity in this GoBots cartoon.
Yeah.
Yes!
Someone really wanted to bring their history reading into what they were working on for their day job.
I mean, this guy is definitely one of those guys who does think about the Roman Empire multiple times a day.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
So he writes 40K novels now.
Probably.
Yes. Or, yeah. So, and, you know, he reminisces, yeah, you know, we used to, you know, me and Sidekill, we dug coal together. or rather, we were guardians together. So, you know, so Leader One, he's poking around. He's going to see what power source is still on this with treads and turbo. But Scooter is like, oh, yeah, well, you want to know about how Leader One and Sidekill used to be pals. Well, listen to me, Frank Welker, as I spin you a tale.
So, have they... I feel like, did they actually confirm Herbie was going to be in the new Fantastic Four movie? Because
They have not officially... Or he's in the official art they released for.
Okay, because I was saying that they should get Frank Welker to come back and do this voice for Herbie. But I couldn't remember if that was based on, like... any actual confirmation that he was in it, or if it's just that I always think Frank Welker should be in things.
I mean, that might be what they hired Natasha Lyonne for.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, it's me. I'm fucking Herbie. What are we doing?
Hey. Hey.
Oh, no, they should cast her as Ben's blind girlfriend.
Yeah.
Hey, what's wrong with your face, Ben? You feel like a fucking rock outcropping or something. Takes a giant drag on a cigarette. You gotta moisturize.
I mean, yes, she's kind of the perfect girlfriend for Ben Grimm.
Also, I feel like my Natasha Lyonne might just be my Joe Pantoliano.
Yeah,
well, I mean, it works.
Anyway, so we are flashing back to the distant past. Back when Gobotron looked way worse than it does in the opening credits.
It looked like a cored apple in the opening credits.
I mean,
it
always looks like a cored apple, but this looks like a cored apple that they spent significantly less time painting.
Fair.
So yeah, we're flashing back to when...
That opening shot of Gobotron looked really nice in 1080p at 4 in the morning, though, I'll tell you that. When I was coming off an episode of The Real Ghostbusters that looked like a VHS rip. It was good.
So back in the day, the Gobotron was ruled by the High Protectors. There were three of them, almost like a triumvirate.
Uh-huh. Hmm.
And two of them are Leader One and Sidekill, who are the best guardians. Then you've also got a politician, like a great statesman, Zemon. And it's kind of hilarious how they pick these guys at random.
Yeah,
because Zemon was one of those guys who has like. A car window for a head.
Yeah,
he's like the
big, like
Psycho and other guys.
Toy accurate Ironhide vibes here.
Yes, yeah. I was like, listen, it's our greatest statesman, a guy with a big box for a head,
guy with a windshield for a head.
Speaking of, we're trying less than Transformers. Generally, when they went back in time to Cybertron, you did not have people, you know. With, like, Earth vehicle modes.
Yeah. Yeah.
GoBots, listen. Hey, listen. This is Joseph Barbera here. You think I built... I think I made millions of dollars on animation by signing a bunch of checks. No, he's a jet. He's in the past. He's in space. I don't care.
Kids aren't thinking about this.
And also Transformers would have, I mean, they would have some of the same characters. Not everybody would get, like, Cybertronian details.
No.
But they'd, like, have a shitload of generic guys that they could kill off. No, it's the same exact guys that are in the present in the episode that are in the past, mostly.
Plus yeah, I mean, we see some different guys. Apparently you got, like Blaster here and Twister, Heatseeker. Loco. I don't know a lot of yet. Moto San, apparently?
Nobody knows. I need to look him up.
Oh, Moto San, I think, is another three-wheeler.
That sounds like another one of those that I would probably recognize from my time hanging out in the break room at a Honda Suzuki dealership. Just guessing.
Also, we do see Jeeper Creeper, who I've always been amused by his name.
Oh, yeah, I had Moto San. He's ugly.
What? Sad.
And he is a three-wheeler.
But Tri-Track is the same color mine was.
And so we see them battling the Parthian Raiders.
Ooh, whoa, these guys.
Get your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty apes.
Yeah.
They're flying monkeys.
They are indeed.
They fly my print. Did Hanna-Barbera do like a Wizard of Oz cartoon?
Maybe. There was a Wizard of Oz.
That feels like a thing that Filmation would have done.
There was like a Wizard of Oz anime that aired on Canadian TV when I was a kid.
I mean, I know there were ones that covered sequel books that were on HBO at some point, but was there a Hanna-Barbera one?
All I can find here is there was a record of Snagglepuss tells the story of the Wizard of Oz. It's in the public domain, you see.
Yeah, I was watching, I guess before Yogi Space Race, they were showing like Yogi's Gang, and I'm like, all of these characters are gay-coded and half of them are just Ed Gwynn impersonations. You can't just put all these characters together in the same show. It gives the game away.
I mean, listen, some of them are Ed Gwynn impressions. Definitely one of them is just a guy doing Jimmy Durante. that is, of course, Augie Doggy.
Yes. It just really made me want to watch some
Doggy Daddy.
Dig up some episodes of Harvey Birdman.
I was always partial to Quick Draw McGraw myself.
Mm-hmm. Kabong.
Exactly. I can't remember what old actor he was an impersonation of, but I'm sure it was something.
It's lost to time.
Anyway, so yeah, these and not only are these flying monkeys, they don't speak, they just make monkey noises.
Yeah, that's just the wild thing. They do kind of remind me of Primacron from Call of the Primitives.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit.
But more decidedly monkey.
Or also like the psychiatrist apes from Webworld.
Yeah.
Yes.
But again, more like definitively monkey.
And yeah, like, no, these are like ook monkeys.
Yeah.
Like the monkey slaves of some weird alien in IDW 2.
Those weird monkeys who were there.
Yeah, on Cybertron. It's like, what the fuck? Why are there monkeys on Cybertron?
Why
are there flying monkeys in space?
I thought it was nice having other alien races around, but yeah.
Yeah. But it's always flying monkeys.
Somebody call Captain Simeon and tell him to get these guys out of here.
Yes. Oh, and they're the Parthians. And later they go to the city, attack the city of Ctesiphon.
Yes.
Which is also, like, from the Parthian Empire. Like, it was the capital city.
Yeah, and which did indeed war with the Roman Republic during the waning days of the Republic.
Or was the capital a city of the Sasanian Empire? Something. It was related to the Parthian.
I do think it's worth asking how much of this is homage and how much is just, like, being in a hurry and stealing a bunch of names from something
dictionary.
Looking at a
I will say that I'm going to say it's maybe more impressive just because this would have been harder to find out in, like, 1985.
Yeah, I appreciate the weird references.
You'd have to get a book or go to a library or just know a lot about the Roman Empire.
Yeah.
But it does remind me of my dad telling me the story of the Trojan War when I was a kid using my MicroMasters.
Nice.
Anyway, so anyway, they beat these Parthians, and much like the Romans, they parade their captives, before the cheering throngs.
As you do.
Although, clearly they need, like, a guy whispering in Psykill's ear here. Remember that one day you, too, will go on clearance. we're very much speed running through the Leader One and Psykill were friends, because Psykill is basically ready to institute fascism immediately. Yes.
From, like, scene two.
Whereas Leader One is, giving Psykill a friendship pendant, and just the look on his face. So he gives him, I guess...
Oh, yes, he gives him a ring! Well,
the
crystal,
weapons that the monkey people have these, like, pink jewels on the end that are part of, I guess, the power thing, but they also look very pretty. And so he's got a couple of them, and he gives one to Psykill as a good luck charm as he goes off on his mission, because he saved his life, and just the look on Leader One's face is just like, aww. Gay.
Yet it's very much shipping them.
Well, don't worry,
together.
The heterosexual portion of the program will come a little later. So, he's like, hey, look at how these people cheer for us. Why, it would be better if instead we ruled them. And the Leader One's like, how about no?
Yeah.
But again, it's a real, like, Padme Anakin thing here, where... he's talking about how, well, maybe, you know, somebody just has to, you know, rule the galaxy instead of, you know, going through politics. And she's, you know, clearly opposed to that, but also wants the D. So she's kind of okay with it.
Yeah.
It's that little Padawan rat tail. Drives
me
crazy.
I guess that's attractive in space.
And how does that work for, like, aliens that are, like, bald? Like, what if you're like an Admiral Akbar? Do they have to, like, glue one onto you?
Maybe it was actually just Qui-Gon being funny.
Yeah, maybe it was just his thing, because I'm not sure it comes up with anybody
else.
Trolling
him.
I'm just thinking of a Wookiee covered with braids.
Well, he's just got, like, one of them, I guess. I mean, the nice thing is, if you're a Wookiee, nobody's going to notice it. But also, they're not going to make fun of you for because it looks dumb, because you can tear your arms out of their sockets.
Because you're a Wookiee.
He only tore arms out of anybody's sockets once.
Just the one
time. Well, he only had to once. The other times, people were thinking, well, I don't want to get my arms torn out of their sockets, so I'm not going to
Not going to bother this guy. Not going to cause problems.
Anyway. So we're going before the council, you know, they're congratulating him, and they, you know, we have three major problems that the Gobatron Empire has to worry about. We got the Parthians, we got the Renegades. Apparently the Renegades were already established at this point. I guess they're in, this is in covered in another episode.
I guess I'll get there.
Where the Renegades are formed. Because I think that there's, like, the Master Renegade, who's, like, a cyborg guy who comes up at some point.
Oh, right, yeah, when they started that weird shit way
This is, like,
in the
deep GoBot lore that I'm not really familiar with.
I'm looking forward to getting into this.
And so you got... That's the second thing. And then the third thing is that we have these mines on Garleon that we're using to rebuild the planet.
Yeah, by extreme terraforming and ripping half the planet apart.
To be fair, the planet does not appear to be, like, inhabited at all.
Mm. Not anymore.
I don't think there's even vegetation on it. It's fine.
And we're not going too deep into the dark side of the Roman Republic here. Mm.
Also, I would like to point out that the human characters are breathing perfectly fine on this strange alien world.
This is true. So the council decides that, you know, we're going to send our three members of the Triumvirate to these three missions. So Psykill says that, well, you know, I'm the best, so I'm going to take out the Renegades. And then Zemon, who's kind of like old and busted, but still prideful, who would be an interesting character if this were more fleshed out, and also he had facial expressions.
Yeah.
And wasn't kind of just Frank Welker doing his regular Frank Welker voice.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying that he's half-assing it here, but, you know, I'm sure a voice actor knows when you've got, like, a bad script and when you've got a decent script.
Yes.
And he's definitely putting his whole ass into a lot of those Transformers scripts.
Yeah. Well, again, I mean, I think Wally Burr had something to do with that.
And
too.
Also, yeah, it might be like Wally Burr's going to beat me up if I don't. Or that guy who played General Hawk is going to bring in one of his giant spiders.
Yes.
Anyway, so Zemon is going to go confront the flying monkeys, and then Leader One is going to do the most boring job, which is taking on the
mining operation.
Just guarding these mines.
But he's Garleon, such a good guy that he's just like, I will go wherever I'm needed.
Yeah. Yes, but indeed, before they depart, they do trade these pit crystals as like tokens of friendship because we are BFFs.
Yay! Just the look on his face, the look on Leader One's face, his little smile. He's just like, here you go, because we're friends now.
Well, yeah, because like, is it in the beginning fight thing where like Psycheel carries Leader One in like a wife carry pose?
Yes. When they're flying, yeah. He catches him,
yeah.
Which, I mean, the one who is a jet should not need to be caught from a free fall, but by the one who is a motorcycle.
Rescued by a flying motorcycle, but
it is what it is.
Can you read my mind, Psycheel?
Yes.
Anyway, so you know, they've each got a bit of a team. Psycheel is with Dart and Bullseye, and they're attacked by Loco, who's a train, and Hornet, who's a jet. Or, no, Hornet's like a weird, like, bug thing.
Yeah, I think he's one of the monster bot thingies. It's
like part of Devil Satan 6.
It is hard, like, it doesn't seem like the Renegades have a leader, it's just, there's some Renegades. At least in this episode.
They're renegating against something.
I mean, they just really love that Styx song. their true leader is Lorenzo Lamas.
Oh no, Hornet is one of the monster guys who wasn't part of Devil Satan 6.
Oh, okay.
Are Devil Satan, are they the guys who combine into the big thing?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then he deals with a bunch of other renegades. You got Zero, who I guess is like... Apparently he's like the Starscream of the Renegade sometimes.
Sometimes.
I guess, and that seems appropriate for a guy that turns into a Zero plane.
Yeah, the wind's gonna rise right up your ass, buddy. That's what that movie's about, right?
Dang.
You also got Bugsy.
Bugsy.
Who is, again, another, like, monster guy.
Bugsy! Oh, I hope
he should have
a Jimmy Durante voice.
Good night, Mrs. Psycheel, wherever you are. And at Claws with K, again, another, like, vague monster guy. So they Psycheel and his buddies pretty much get their asses kicked. But luckily, Psycheel just manages to escape right in time, and they have to bug out of there. meanwhile, on Garleon, Leader One's there. He's with Treads. This is where he meets Turbo.
Working a manual labor job.
Soon to be his new BFF.
Yeah.
Yes, he's kind of like Ironhide. If Ironhide looked like a clown.
Yes. Yeah.
He does kind of have Ironhide vibes. Also, he's red.
Yeah.
Also, there was a model kit of him that they repurposed as Turbo Ooh. Teen.
Oh, that's right. another cartoon that we have done previously that is wildly disturbing.
It's not okay.
Body horror extreme.
Like, I know that, you know, the whole, this is an cool adult version of this 80s cartoon is extremely played out at this point. But also, I would absolutely watch, like, a Turbo Team that leaned into the nightmarish body horror of a guy turning into a car and then just like having his friends ride around in him.
You could do that as like half body horror, half comedy.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's all fun and games until your friend has to turn into a car so you can get the fuck out of there.
I feel like this may have been a Rick and Morty game.
Probably.
They definitely did it on Robot Chicken.
It was definitely on Robot Chicken.
And again, another thing I will mention here, the GoBot noise, much less cool than the Transformers.
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty basic.
Another thing that Transformers did better.
Sound design.
I mean, that's generally a show that has good Foley work. A lot of it is blatantly stolen from Star Wars.
Well, yes.
But
yeah,
they're cool sound effects that they stole.
Steal from the best.
Yes.
That's right. Whereas this is stealing from the sound effects library that probably originated with the Jetsons.
Yeah. It's a little dated.
Anyway, yeah, so Zemon is he's on the Planet of the Apes. But he's there with a Moto-san is there, and I think Tri-Track is there. It's him, and for some reason he brought like the three-wheelers, and he turns into a car, which we don't see.
Wanted to tip over without warning. They did that. They tipped over a lot.
But they straight up get their asses kicked by these monkeys.
Yeah, which is sad, because dudes are absolutely monkeys. They're just space monkeys.
And in fact, Zemon gets his ass kicked so bad that he can't transform anymore, and he decides later on that I will bear this shame forever.
This will be my mark of shame,
and I will never transform again. Or sorry,
I shall become a mono.
Sorry, I will never convert again.
Yes, he will never convert,
because if I say I will never transform again, then Hasbro will sue.
Yes.
So that now brings us to our third task, which is guarding these mines, and indeed it is attacked by the Renegades. We got Crasher, we got Copter, and the aforementioned Jeeper Creeper.
Yay.
Who I will say kind of does have a cool name.
I mean,
yeah, it's almost too big of a name for GoBots, a guy who's just a Jeep.
GoBots generally don't have great names.
No. There was a forklift named Spoons.
Like they again,
which I guess is better than Liftor, which is the Armada forklift.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's kind of like if it's like instead of Bob Odiansky, they had, well, no, because these aren't quite on the same. It's like when they had Denny O'Neil, who they initially planned to name the Transformers. He did name Optimus Prime, but he's also going to name Starscream Ulktar.
Yeah,
what the fuck?
Ulktar was bad.
So
it does feel like
Denny O'Neil's comics work.
It does feel like a first draft of Transformers in a lot of ways.
Yes.
Mm.
You know, we're trying for the pun names, but we just end up coming with things like Spacey and Hands Cuff.
Yeah, what the fuck?
Air Fiend, which they decided maybe they didn't want to be so German about him, so they called him Dr. No for the show, but then they still gave him a ridiculous German accent.
Yeah.
And didn't he also have, like, a monocle?
Yes!
Oh, yeah, what the fuck?
They're like, oh, we don't want to lean too much into the German scientist thing, and then nobody gave the voice casting note.
Anyway, so the Renegades attack these mines. Leader One almost gets crushed. Turbo steps in to save him. And Turbo is also real hot for Crasher.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Oh, what a chassis. I like them fast, baby.
No, at this point, they don't have a long adversarial history, but yeah, Turbo is definitely getting all sideburn on Crasher. It's not okay, buddy.
I mean, it may have been millions of years of war, but he might still be thinking about having the world's noisiest hate fuck.
Oh no. Oh no. Oh no. Yeah.
Just Hanna-Barbera noises everywhere.
Jetsons.
Just a bunch of like Fred Flintstone rock bonking noises.
Oh, no.
no, no rock or banging. No.
It's not okay. It is okay, though.
No.
Listen, he's going to bonk her so hard that at the end she's going to think that she's a famous race car driver. Anyway, that was... This concludes the weirdly horny portion of our broadcast.
Does
yeah,
it?
Yeah, that just came out of nowhere. It was definitely a thing.
I mean, later in the episode, Psykill propositions someone, so...
He proposes that he, Crasher, and Copter become Gobatron's most evil throuple.
Yes. Which,
yes?
Yeah, yeah, that's fair.
I mean, that is what they do.
Anyway, so Leader One turns up the only one who's victorious, and he takes Crasher and Copter captive. So, you know, Zemon says, you know, it's penance for my failure, I'm never gonna convert again. And then another guy says, hey, so what are you gonna give up, Psykill? Because you totally sucked ass.
You also failed, you failure.
And this, of course, just makes him mad. So he just, and, you know, everybody's sucking up to Leader One because he's so great.
Psykill decides what he's going to give up is taking his shit.
Yeah. And he's like, well, hey, maybe you should just be like the whole leader of the whole GoBot. But he's like, no, no, no. No GoBot should ever be the master of the GoBots. And so Psykill's like, okay, so that'll be true as long as both you and I survive. And somehow, because Leader One is so pleasant and trusting, this does not immediately say, Awooga, danger, Will Robinson.
Yeah, Leader One is definitely a little bit, I don't know, naive.
Oblivious?
Like, unless you're getting married, unless somebody says something that will remain true as long as you both shall live, he's probably going to kill you.
Yes. Yes.
Alternately, it is possible Leader One just thinks that he is going to marry him.
Yeah, that's also entirely possible. I mean, that look on his face.
Has it decided if they're going to be, if it's going to be Psy One or Leader Kill?
Oh, shit, dude.
Been writing a bunch of names in his notebook.
Got that fancy S.
I know, I'm a jet, he's a motorcycle, how are we going to raise the kids? but no, instead, Psykill does go to visit these two renegades, and he's like, hey, I'll set you free if you kill Leader One. And then Crasher's all, oh yeah, Leader One, he totally sucks. And he's like, no, 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 no. Listen, I may want you to kill him, but also don't talk about my boyfriend.
Yes, only I can talk about him like that.
So he starts recruiting some other guys. Bullseye is almost recruited here, and somehow is just like, also again very toy accurate. He has like enormous like feet that are most of an airplane's tail fin, and so he's just marching out of this room with his huge ass feet.
He looks really weird. Yes. When he walks. Like, these character designs definitely needed another pass.
Like, he looks like he has rickets.
Accurate.
And also, they're just playing cards here, which is kind of cool.
Like, yeah, actual...
Poker on Gobatron with, like, hearts and diamonds and normal
Yeah,
suits.
Unfortunately, I kind of wish they had, like, something more robot-y on them.
Yeah.
Like, we'd probably still get it if they were, I don't know, like, nuts and bolts or something.
Yeah, but they're just plotting open rebellion over cards. And one dude isn't cool with that and leaves, and it's like, why did you...
And then he's not immediately, hey, you know that Psykill guy? Maybe we shouldn't trust him because, A, his last name is literally Kill, and also he's planning a coup.
The name but is kind like, of hey, a giveaway.
You know, they might be planning a coup or something. I don't know.
Shruggy.
But instead, we just end up with a big fight in the Hall of Columns. Which is literally just a big hall full of columns.
It does what it says on the tin. It's a hall that's filled. Yep. Why do they I have a Hall of Columns.
It's a real, well, we'll come up with a better name for this in the next draft, and they didn't do a next draft.
It's translated from the original Russian, or Roman. Not
Russian. I was going to say the original Gobatronies. Hall of Columns.
And also, I believe it's around this point that Crasher refers to Leader One as a simp.
Yeah! What? That was... I caught that and was like, okay.
I mean, that word means something different. You were probably going for
it
simpleton.
It meant something,
and it's...
like, in the 80s, it was just like... you're like a, it was like a simpleton.
Yeah, and now, oh boy.
I mean, fair.
As opposed to Crasher recognizes your name, you're subscribing to her feet pics on OnlyFans.
Oh god, Crasher feet pics.
Crasher is absolutely someone who would call people simps, though. She's...
and definitely has a step on me OnlyFans.
Yeah.
Yeah, except she steps on you and, like, it makes, like, energy bolts and you explode.
And you
yeah.
die. I love Crasher.
Yes.
Anyway, there's a big fight, and indeed, I forgot to mention that back on the mines, Leader One lost his friendship bracelet in, like, a big crevasse.
Yes, and he was very sad about it. His, like, special jewel.
It's, you know, it's like a metaphor.
Yeah.
I kind of wondered who was going to come up like, hey, where's your friendship bracelet, Leader One? Are we not friends forever? And then that was what was going to make him become a renegade?
Hmm.
No, I lost it. I lost it. Oh, yes. This is your sick mother all over again, Leader One. Anyway, so indeed, you know, Psykill has... defected to the other side, brought a couple guys with him, and now he leads the renegades, and that's where our flashback ends.
The end.
And so...
the sad, sad so backstory all, of their friendship.
Yeah. So, Scooter, you literally weren't here for any of this. Where were you doing? Oh, well, that's a different story. That's... you'll have to find out in Season 2 of GoBots, which we're not going to get.
That's a story for another time.
That's a horse of a different color.
I am very curious about that, though. Like, okay.
My guess is that he was, like, Forrest Gumped into the background of all these events. And then I met the Guardians. Again. But hey, we found this power source that we're looking for on this planet. And it's that friendship bracelet, the one that Leader One lost in those mines all those years ago.
Aww, he's got his little pink gem, his little pink diamond.
So he's just gonna put it in his chest drawer and maybe do a little brooding.
Be sad for a moment.
Yep.
Aww.
And yeah, that is A2 Psykill.
Yes.
I guess it's probably about as good an episode of GoBots as you're gonna get. Which
probably,
is not good.
Yeah. It's kind of shocking how good this one was. Partially because of all the Roman Empire references, which were entertaining.
Yeah, the Roman Empire stuff is kind of cool. Like, it's you know, follow the Roman Empire for babies, but.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's. You got characters doing character stuff. Hmm. I like Phytor. Mm-hmm. I just like Phytor's character design a lot. Also, he's in Machine Robo as a significant character.
Yes, as Blue Jet. He's one of the main guys. And apparently, Phytor, his voice actor, is one of the writers of this episode.
Oh, so he is.
Lots of the episodes.
Wow. And also, he's the brother of Kirby Ward, who's also a voice actor on this show.
Hmm. So this is the Phytor show.
One notable name I saw in the credits, but did not... I'm not sure. I mean, this is one of those shows where they just list everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In Louis Arquette.
Mm-hmm.
Arquette?
He's the father of all the Arquettes.
Wow. Okay.
Cool. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, they got an okay voice cast. They just didn't have a Wally Burr to wrangle them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you've got, you know, the all your Hanna-Barbera guys, although, well, the ones who are still alive. I don't know if like Dawes Butler and such were dead at this point. But anyway, if you know Louis Arquette, he is the sheriff in those Scream movies.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
But I mean, you know, a zillion other things. And in fact, he was on the Spawn cartoon.
Oh! Man, we're just always going to be bringing up that Spawn cartoon now.
God, it's entirely possible that at some point we end up watching it, although...
It's got Keith David on it. We should watch something ridiculous.
I don't know if we could, like, find episodes where something happens on it.
Yeah, because it's very serialized, following a thing.
Like, I remember, like, my grandparents were at a condo, and they got the Canadian channel that showed HBO shows.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe the second season is different. I don't remember the second season.
And so, you know, I'd go and I'd be excited because, ooh, you know, I read about this Spawn cartoon in Wizard magazine. Let's see what it's about. And then you'd watch an episode and nothing happened in it.
Oh, and you would have been like way too young for that.
I mean, because I was like way too young. I was like four.
I was like just like 18. I had the one friend whose parents had HBO, so we went over to her place to watch it.
Yeah, I was like 13, 14, which I feel is the like prime age, like not necessarily to be for Spawn to be appropriate to be, but to want to watch and or read Spawn.
Yeah, for it to be appealing, if not appropriate.
There was a third season? The fuck?
I mean, I'm sure nothing happened in that one either.
Probably not.
I remember when I was a teenager, those Aliens comics were marked for mature readers, and I'd be like, yeah, I guess I'm a mature reader at this point.
I mean, I guess what we could do is watch that Michael J. White movie.
But then you don't get Keith David. But you get John Leguizamo.
You get Frank Welker.
Frank Welker? Oh, he's Malbolgia. Oh.
Yeah, kind of just doing like his Dr. Claw voice, which is hilarious.
In the worst CG ever put to film.
His mouth doesn't even move.
Nope.
It's bad.
And yeah, it's just Welker doing Dr. Claw. It's hilarious. Man, Martin Sheen is in that movie. That guy is real glad The West Wing came along.
If King Spawn, the movie, ever gets made, we'll save the movie for that.
Ooh.
There we go.
Boy, there.
He's still shopping that around.
He says it's happening.
Yeah.
He's been shopping it around since, like, 1999. Mm. We'll see.
Good luck. Good luck and Godspeed to him.
I mean, honestly, another Spawn movie could probably work with better CG.
Well, I mean, it would have to be. It's not like you're going to get worse CG than 1997.
No. I want a GoBots movie directed by Roland Emmerich. Because he's comparable to Michael Bay.
Yeah. Could work.
Like Michael Bay, but gay.
Which is nice, because his stuff is not nearly so hostile to the female audience.
No.
No, I would say it might be more hostile to the straight audience.
Yeah. I mean, y'all are just divorced, though, so it's okay.
Well, the thing is, we're all divorced, but also we're desperately trying to get back with the woman we divorced.
Because of children, I guess.
Well, if you transfer that to Leader One and Psy-Kill, it would work.
Yes. They are divorced.
Divorced robots.
All right. Well, that should do us for this week. In GoBots, we'll be back next week with an exciting new television program.
Oh, we got plug shit.
Yes, and we're going to talk about the big trip that Jen and David made.
Yeah.
During which I made David watch some BotBots.
Yay! Ooh. We should have watched more.
It was so good.
Shockingly
it's great.
Good.
I
wish I could have found a Frost Ferratu at TFCon.
Well, might have been a little one somewhere in some little bin.
It sold early. I did see some little BotBots, but no cupcakes.
But yes, we were part of the podcast panel that has been uploaded by the Transmissions podcast. So if you go to YouTube or you look up their podcast feed, it is episode 599 is the podcast panel that David and I were a part of. It was super fun. And I believe Vangelis from Vangelis was the host of the panel, but the Transmissions podcast folks were the ones who uploaded it.
Yeah, it was a bunch of stuff. We talked about it on our last IACON Underground episode. Go back and see that for lots of TFCon coverage.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Yes.
Yep, we are still sorting out whether we're going to do Cyberverse next, or...
isn't that the next show? Unless one of the weird Netflix
That is the next show, but...
I don't really want to do those.
I don't know if we're going to do those in their entirety.
We already did one episode of each
survive
already.
Doing those. Yeah, we did one of each.
We could, though.
I don't want to go back.
And it might kill us, but you never know.
Yeah, well... After seeing the Netflix one, going back to the Machinima one, maybe that one was
goofy.
Yeah,
we could properly go back to the Machinima ones. And
it was bad, but entertainingly so.
Yeah. But yes.
If we can find it.
That is a thing we were doing. We are also hosted on iaconunderground.net, where we have a Patreon set up to help with hosting and other expenses. That is patreon.com/iaconunderground. We just wrapped up doing our July episode, where we watched what turned out to be an unfortunately terrible episode of Ultimate Spider-Man, featuring Deadpool.
Yeah, we done goofed. Oh,
doing his best Stanley Ipkiss impression.
Oh, we done goofed bad.
Yeah.
So yeah, join us for as little as $1 a month to listen to that episode where we discover the horrifying origins of a certain Gen Z term.
Yes. Shocking discovery.
Apparently.
Zoomer. Humor.
Anyway. So yeah. And also, David and I are still doing our iaconunderground Underground radio podcast every couple weeks, trying to get that in as scheduling allows, and, you know, as there's news to talk about, that there's SDCC, so there should be a whole bunch of news to talk about soon.
Yeah, there's a bunch of new toys and things.
I have a tortoise shell who has suddenly decided that she needs all of my attention, so...
Oh, that's what that noise was.
Apologies. Yeah,
Also, my dog is a barking.
That was Madeline Pryor, the cat, deciding that she needed to rub up against my microphone. Thanks, Maddie. So no one was paying attention to her, so she needed attention. So yeah, that is our Patreon.
Yeah, we're on Twitter and Mastodons and whatever. It's come to our Discord.
I got Blue Sky. I'm running a whole Mastodon server because I like Mastodon as a concept. Yeah.
Yes, it's Monster Don Night and we're late.
Yeah.
Again.
That's okay.
All right. So until next time, I'm Rob.
I am Jen Kill.
I am David Tor. Good night.